Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I know where we're at in 2 Peter. I know the primary interpretation of these verses, okay? Every verse in the Bible has a primary interpretation. It has a prophetical implication, but it also has a practical application that we can make out of it. And I want to do that tonight. And a very practical application, I'm just going to throw this out in passing because I don't know that I'll ever preach on it. Me and Brother Jonathan Bass has been talking about it for 2 days. But whenever you study Moses, Moses had that rod, and he throwed that rod on the ground, and it turned into a serpent, and he picked it up, and whenever he picked it up, it turned back into a rod, did it not? Didn't remain a serpent whenever he picked it up. When he put his hands on it, it turned back into a rod. There's a lot of things in your life that God will never do the impossible with until you take your hands off of it. That was nothing more than a rod until he listened to the Lord and took his hands off of it. And as soon as he took his hands off of it, something supernatural happened with it. As soon as he put his hands back on it, it turned back into a rod. And I want to say something to you. There's some things in our life, the only way we'll ever see God do the supernatural with it, we'll have to take our hands off of it and put it in the hands of the Master. Amen? And if you'll do that, God will do something supernatural for you. Amen? When we go to teach and we go to preach and we try to do it all in our power, it'll be to no avail. But when we take our hands off of it and allow God to do a supernatural work with it, He can. But if we try to put our hands on it and take the glory for it, it's when things will change. But that's just a practical application. Now, I know the primary interpretation of all that, and if you want to talk about it, we will, but there's a practical application. In 2 Peter chapter number 1, we see in verse number 1, I'm just going to skip around a little bit, but he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He is talking to the saved right there. That's who he is dealing with. He talks in verse number 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, he comes down through here and he talks about giving all diligence, add to your faith. That is the very basis of getting saved. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people struggle with that. Did I have faith? Did I not have faith? And I'll just say this to you. I don't know if I had enough faith or didn't have enough faith that night, but I'll say it this way. I do know that I did, because if I didn't have faith, I would have never asked Him. And the moment you ask the Lord to save you, at that moment, you believed that He would do it. You had faith that God would do that, and that's the only reason you ask Him to do it. Amen? He says, add to your faith. The very beginning of Christianity, the very beginning of our walk with the Lord is faith. It says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godly kindness, or charity, and brotherly. He talks about all those things to add to your faith. And then he goes in to verse number 10. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, given diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if these things be in you, ye shall neither fail or fall. Goes on to say in verse 11, for so an inheritance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. He said, you know these things, but every once in a while you need to be reminded of them. Every once in a while, you need to walk back down memory lane and be reminded of what the Lord has done for you. And then know what he says in verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle. Very practically saying right there, as long as I'm alive, he says this, He said, yea, I think of me as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now, know what he says, to stir you up. And I want to talk to you tonight about some things that should stir us up. Some things that should stir us up. And there is some things today that should cause us to be stirred up. Father, I pray that over the next few minutes, God, that you would help us tonight. I pray, God, that you would, Lord, help me to recall the things that we've studied. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a help to your people tonight. I'm very well aware that I can't do it within myself. So, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me to take my hands off of it. And, God, Lord, that you would preach through me tonight as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Honestly, whenever you look at the message tonight, you would think that it's more of a message that you would quote-unquote preach on a Sunday morning or in a revival meeting. But boy, I just could not get away from dealing with it tonight. When you look at this, Peter here is not teaching some new doctrine. He's not teaching some quote-unquote new thing. But Peter is saying this, I want to remind you, I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance some things that you need to be reminded of. And I want to say to you tonight, I think that there is some things that should stir us up tonight. There is some things that should alarm us tonight. When you look up that word stir, here's what it means. It means to wake up. It means to awaken. It means to arouse. In other words, it means that maybe we begin to doze off a little bit and we need to be aroused. We need to be awakened. You know, there's different things that stir us up today. You with me? There's different things that stir us up today. And Brother Peyton was teaching Sunday morning, and man, if you missed it, you missed a blessing. But he was teaching, and he was talking about being more like the Lord and less like ourselves. And he said, when that car cuts you off on the interstate, you should be more like the Lord and less like yourself. Nobody said amen, but he was right on it. Are you with me tonight? That stirs us up, does it not? And the past few weeks, I've been on the road a lot, and over the next 2 or 3 months, I'm going to be on the road a lot more in different meetings. And I just come to the conclusion. Yesterday, we got in a big traffic jam on 40, and coming back yesterday evening, and man, it's just standstill. And I thought, well, there's one or two things I can do. I can sit here and let my blood pressure go out the roof, or I can just sit here and talk to my wife. So you know what I chose to do? I couldn't go around it, Brother Stan. I couldn't get by. There was nothing I could do. But if I wasn't careful, I would have become like my father, and I would have been very stirred up during that time. Very stirred up. And I looked it. Matter of fact, it come up. I always put stuff in my phone and run a live map on it. Come up and said there was going to be a 20-minute delay, but I was still on the fastest route. My daddy would have drove an hour and a half out of the way just so he could keep moving instead of sitting still. I pulled up there and just sat still. Man, I was watching as we would ease up. I was watching, and man, people would blow the horn, and they'd cut you off, and then they'd cut back out because the left side would go up 2 car lengths, and then you'd go up 4 car lengths. And, you know, I watched it the whole time. Honestly, we got to the point where the lanes come together almost at the exact same time. And I thought, you know what? My stress level's a whole lot lower than there is. Stirring us up, there's a lot of things that stir us up. On Monday, Leslie and I stopped on our way out to meeting in Old Ford, and we hiked into Catawba Falls. Man, it was beautiful, and there's the lower Catawba Falls and the upper. And when you get to the lower, it's not a bad hike to the lower. But to get to the upper, you go up over 700 steps to get to it. And we went up them, and then there's like a big metal or aluminum platform, and you go up about five or six more flights of stairs, and then you get off it and then hike up the side of the mountain, and you're at the upper falls. And we went up there to it. Man, it was beautiful. And we started back down. And as we started back down, there was three guys. I'm not going to call them men. I'm definitely not going to call them gentlemen. And two of them come around us real quick. I was walking in front of Miss Leslie because she's scared of heights. And I was walking in front of her. And they run down a little bit in front of us, and the one behind us took their picture. And I thought, well, there's nothing wrong with that. We took a few more steps, and I thought, well, why isn't that guy in the back coming around us? You with me? So I kind of glanced back over my shoulder, and he was standing behind my wife. And I thought, well, I'm going to go down one more flight, and I glanced back over my shoulder, and he had his little phone out behind my wife at that time. Needless to say, I took on my father's behavior and got stirred up. I stepped to my wife with her to my back, and I turned around and looked at him, and I said, hey, man, you can go ahead and catch up with your buddies. He said, no, it's okay. I'm fine right here. And I said, no, you didn't understand what I said. You can go around and catch up with your buddies. Oh, no, I'm okay. And I thought, that's strike two. And I looked at him, and I said, you can put your stupid little phone up and get out from behind my wife and go down there with your little buddies, or we're going to have a problem. He walked up in front of me. He's about this tall. He looked up at me, and I looked down at him, and I looked down all them steps, and I looked back at him. And I said, the best thing you can do is go down there with your little buddies and keep walking. And he decided to go down there. It aroused me. It awakened me. It stirred me up. It made my blood pressure go up. You hear me? You say, what would you have done if he'd have bowed up on you? It'd have been a mistake. Because I promise you, I was on higher ground, and it was a long ways to the bottom of them steps. Now, I guess he just stepped on a shoestring or something. I don't know. Are you with me? It aroused me. It stirred me up. Well, there's some things today that should stir us up. There's some things today, church, that should bother us. It should bother us. Can I give you three simple things tonight? Again, this is just simple, practical things that I want to give you now. Number one, can I say this? The social decline of our world today should bother us. I don't know if you know this or not, but we live in a messed up world today. We live in a messed up world today. I stopped in Asheville yesterday, and on our way back, and went into a store that I love to go in, and was looking around in it, and man, I just looked around at the people, and I thought, boy, this is a messed up society today. The social decline of our country today, church, it should bother us today. It should bother us today that men say they're women and women say that they're men. It should bother us today that people say that they're animals. I mean, who would have ever thought that even in our school system in Surrey County, that they would be students that say that they're cats and dogs? And then when they act the way they do, well, my book, they're rabid, and they probably need a rabies shot or be tested or something. The social decline of our community today, I'm telling you, church, it should stir us up. And I'm not talking about we go kick the doors down and raise the devil, but I'm telling you what it ought to do. It ought to drive us to our knees and praying for our community and for our country. The social decline. I wrote three little bitty simple things down underneath that. And this is like, I told one of my preacher buddies today, I said this is like 1970s, the middle of nowhere mountain preaching. Watch the drinking crowd. The drinking crowd. The social decline of our country. The drinking crowd. It should bother us today. It should bother us today. It should bother us that you can't even hardly find a restaurant to eat in anymore that doesn't sell alcohol. You can't hardly find a place to buy gas anymore that doesn't sell alcohol. We can't even go buy the supplies for the church without going somewhere that sells alcohol. You say, preacher, should that bother us? Yes, that should bother us today. It's still wrong based on the Word of God. Drinking and alcohol has always been wrong. It always will be wrong. It's sin today, and it should stir us up because of the decline of our social life today. It's a decline. I'm just telling you, man. I was talking to an individual this week, and he was talking about another church that he used to go to. And he was talking about some of the people in the church and a situation and a party that alcohol was heavily involved in on a Saturday night. And it was leaders inside this church. And the pastor practically didn't have no problem with that. The people that's leading the next generation, I'm telling you, man, the drinking crowd should disrupt us today. There's a problem. The social decline, the drinking crowd, but what about the drug culture? The drug culture of our day. I've said this many times, and I hope you don't get upset with me. I'm talking to you from my heart tonight. You take Narcan out of Surry County, and probably in less than 48 hours, we wouldn't have nowhere to put all the dead bodies. It's so sad today. And we want to talk about this or that or this or that fixing it. I'm telling you what will fix the drug problem of our community. The churches get right with God. The people of God start praying and begging God and trying to win them to Jesus. And I'm glad we do that here. But the drug culture of our day should disrupt us today. It should bother us. It should awaken us. I've got one daughter that's 22, and I've got a daughter that's 19. But you know what? I've got a daughter that's 13. And I wonder what it's going to be like when she gets 18. The culture of this day, it should bother us. It should awake us. It should stir us up. The drinking crowd, the drug culture, but what about this, the divorce rate? The divorce rate. Well, here's the first thing that everybody goes to when you talk about that, that according to statistics in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, it was a 50% divorce rate, and today it is now down to 41 to 43% of marriages ending up in divorce. So they say it's actually better today. It's not better today. The reason it's 41 to 43% is because the majority of society just shacks up today instead of getting married. I'm just being real. I'm just being real. Look at how many weddings there is. Young people want to wait till they're 30 to get married and start a life because they want to live on the wild side through all of their 20s and they don't want to commit to nothing. There's a problem with commitment. I'm trying to be nice tonight, but I'm just being real with you. That's what it says, 41 to 43% for their first marriage. Go to their second marriage today, and guess what? It's 60%. Go to the third marriage, and guess what? It's 73%. There's a problem today. There's a problem in our culture today and in our society today. And I'm telling you, church, it should awake us. It should awake us. It should awake. Number one, the social decline. It should stir us up. Number two tonight, the spiritual deadness. The spiritual deadness should stir us up today. The spiritual deadness. This year, besides when I traveled for 5 years on the road full time, this year probably already I've preached out more than any other year since I've been pastoring here at the church. Matter of fact, I was talking to Miss Christie today, and next week I'm in another meeting. Then we have our meeting here at the church, and then really just about all the way through the end of August, middle of September, I'm somewhere in a meeting, whether it's one night or two nights, just about every week. in traveling, and Daddy, man, he's in, I don't know, probably a couple hundred, 300 churches a year. I've heard him make this statement. I was talking to Brother Jeremiah today, and talking to him, my nephew, and you know, he preaches all over the country. He said the same thing. I'm going to tell you something today. 98% of churches in America today is going down. They're on their way to closing the doors of them. There's very few, very, very, very few Amazing Grace Baptist churches in the country today. And that should stir us up. It should cause us to want to keep old-time religion alive and well here, but it should stir us up for other churches that God would help them. What is called the spiritual debt? What has caused this spiritual deadness today in our society? Well, I wrote three things down. Again, this is simple, practical things. Can I say this? Cold Christians. Cold. Man, they're just cold. And Matthew 24 says, and because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Cold Christians today. Cold. I told Brother Jeremiah, I said, man, I can stand and preach sometimes and get done preaching and know it wasn't you preaching. You preachers understand what I'm saying right there. You get done and you know the Lord's the one that done the preaching that night. Man, you get to preaching and you feel the nudge of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, Brother Jeremy and I preached together yesterday, and he used the illustration. He got another preacher up, and he said that it's like somebody pushing you. And he would push that other preacher. And I'm telling you, man, there's times that you'll be preaching, and it's the Holy Ghost pushing you, man. Some of you that sings, you know what I'm talking about. And Miss Mandy, sometimes you get to singing, and it's like something's pushing you. It's the move of the Holy Ghost. Man, you'll be preaching. You know the Lord's there. You know God's helping people. You'll look, and the majority of everybody's got a smile on their face. They're raising their hand, and then all of a sudden, and it's Brother Stan as if to say, give me your best shot. You're still not helping me. Cold Christians. If there was ever a time that you're more involved in a service than you are today, something's wrong. Something's wrong. The spiritual deadness of our society today is because there's a bunch of cold Christians. They're cold, man. They're cold. Everything's wrong. Nothing's right. They're cold. They're cold. Can I just say this? When people's getting saved, God's blessed, the Holy Ghost is moving, people's getting help, and you find something wrong, it might be you and not the church. Amen. Cold. Well, what is it? I thought about this. You know, I thought about Revelation. He said this in Revelation. He said, I wish you was either cold or hot, but you become lukewarm. Well, what's that? Well, you got a cold Christian. Then there's a bunch of carnal Christians. There's lukewarm. If it's their singer singing their song or their preacher preaching their message, everybody okay right there? Then, boy, they'll get in on it. But it's got to be at their time. Let me tell you what the problem is. They're carnal. Here's what carnal means: fleshly, having the nature of the flesh, governed by mere human nature, not by the Spirit of God. Here's a good rule of thumb. If you've got a problem with something going on in the church, number one, you should take at least 2 or 3 days and fast and pray and make sure... Well, it got real good and quiet right there. Make sure it's not the devil working in you, but it's God working in you. If something's off doctrinally 100%, you should talk to somebody about it. But what you better do is get along with God and pray about it and make sure you're just not a lukewarm carnal Christian trying to stir something up. Carnal Christians, man. Why's the world in the shape it's in? Here's the reason why. Because there's a bunch of cold Christians. There's a bunch of carnal Christians. Then there's a bunch of convenient Christians. It's just convenient. You say, well, preacher, what's convenient Christianity? Well, they go to church when it's convenient. They go to church when it's convenient. They go to church if they're going to be recognized. If they're going to be noticed. You know, they're that convenient Christian. They're there for 10 times and gone for 20 times. Something fell into their agenda. Hear me and hear me well. It's not going to fall into my agenda Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's blocked out. It's bolted out. I'm going to the house of God. I understand that there's sometimes death comes. There's sometimes sickness comes. There's sometimes you have to. I understand that. But let me tell you, the majority of the time missing church, it's just because it wasn't convenient to you. And we wonder why society's in the shape that it's in. It's because of the spiritual deadness today. The spiritual deadness today. The spiritual deadness today. They get out of church because something that happened at church, because they're carnal, they don't understand the move of the Holy Ghost. And then all of a sudden some big event happens in their life and now they need the church again. It's called convenient Christianity. And that's the reason I'm preaching good tonight. Say, preacher, it's Wednesday night. I know it's Wednesday night. If you don't like what the mailman's delivering, go talk to the postmaster. Just telling you, man, this world is depending on us and looking at us. May we not be cold Christians. May we not be carnal Christians. And may we not be convenient Christians. But may we be red hot Christians tonight. Well, number one, what should stir us up? The social decline of our society, the spiritual deadness of our churches. But can I say this, number three tonight? The sinners that are dying. That should stir us up tonight. That should wake us up tonight. I wrote three simple things down here. Number one, the rate of their dying. I looked this up today and here's what I found. Every minute in the world, there's 114 deaths. 6,849 an hour. 164,384 a day. And around 60 million a year. 60 million. There's 60 seconds in a minute. There's 114 deaths. So a little over one person a second goes out into eternity. And we're worried. And so many, let me back up and rephrase this. A lot of churches today, we're not like this, thank God, but a lot of churches today are more worried about what color light bulbs they're going to put in the bathroom than people going to hell. I talked to a preacher just a couple months ago that in a business meeting at that church, they got into a discussion about that very thing, what color light bulbs they was going to buy. He said, what do you think about that? I said, you probably don't want to know what I think about that. I said, we don't vote on what color light bulbs we're going to buy. We just get them because there's a world dying and going to hell. The least thing we should be worried about is a light bulb. They're more worried about what kind of toilet paper they got in the bathroom than they are sinners dying and going to hell. They're more worried. Is everybody hearing the preacher tonight? the rate of people dying. Does it not occur to you that people we brush shoulders with every day at any given second could die and go to a devil's hell? The rate of their dying. I thought about this. The reason for their dying. Why is people dying today? One simple word. Sin. Sin. We're all going to die one day. The rate of it, the reason of it. But I give you this in closing tonight. The remedy of their dying. The remedy of it. What can we do? Well, can I say this to you? I would say the remedy of their dying gives the prayers of the saint. The prayers of the saint. I want to ask you a question. Miss Tatum, you care to come start playing softly? How long have you prayed this week for the lost? The sad thing is this, and I'm including myself in this statement. Many times we spend more time praying, trying to keep people out of heaven than we do keeping them out of hell. So many times, matter of fact, 18 fixing to start 19 years in just a few weeks here at the church. I don't know, and if I have, somebody tell me afterwards, so I'm not just telling a story, all right? Not that I can remember, can I say it that way? That I've ever had somebody call me and say, hey, preacher, I need you to do a call them all. I'm so burdened for my family that's dying and going to hell. Would you please do a call them all and ask the church to pray for them? But you know what? You let Aunt Bertha, that's lived for God for 75 years, and I'm not belittling this, listen to me. You let her get sick, you know what we do? Oh, please pray. Fast and pray. Beg God to touch her. And in all reality, she's 92 and a half years old. She's lived a good life. God's blessed her. She's saved and on her way to heaven. And we'll spend more time praying, keeping her out of heaven than we do her grandchildren out of hell. The prayers of the saints. Hear me. That lost man's not going to get a prayer answered from God. He can pray or she can pray all that they want to. But if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear my prayer. And the only prayer of a lost man that God hears is a prayer of repentance, asking God to forgive them of their sins and come into their heart and save them. So if there's any hope for a lost man, one of us that's saved has to go touch heaven on their behalf. The prayers of the saints. What's the remedy for them? The power of the Spirit. I thought about that old song, "Oh Lord, send the power just now. Oh Lord, send the power just now." I remember a time when the saints would pray. They had a great enough relationship with God that the Holy Ghost would go to where those individuals was at that they was praying for. And they'd get saved. The remedy of their dying, well, it's the prayers of the saints. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And then that will result in the profession of the sinner. They'll ask God to save them when the Holy Ghost gets on if they want to go to heaven. I'm reminded of what the Bible said in Psalms 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Are you stirred up tonight about the right things? When we look at the decline, the social decline of our society today, it should bother us. It should bother us. I understand the world's always been wicked and the world always will be wicked. I'm 47 years old. As of last week, I'm 47. I ain't got to 50 yet, Brother Rodney. He hit 50 this week. I'm 47. And it's just been in recent years that I can remember that we had people laying in the streets shutting highways down, disrespecting law enforcement the way that they do today. No respect at all for them anymore. Men and women that's been in the workplace of law enforcement for 15, 20, 25 years, within a year or two of retirement, walking off the job because of the way society is today. If that doesn't bother us, church, say, so what's caused it all? Spiritual deadness. We've quit talking. I understand. Don't you listen to me right here again. I know the primary interpretation. I understand all that. Why don't you listen to me? Elijah was down there and said, I'm the only one saying anything. They said, no, there's a few hundred back there that's still standing. But the problem was this. Why wasn't they saying something? Why wasn't they standing with Elijah? You that knows your Bible knows what I'm talking about in the Word of God. Yeah, they may have been standing, but why wasn't they saying something? Church, I'm going to tell you something. It's time that we quit just standing and start saying. It's time that we not just take a stand for what's right, but we publicly acknowledge that sin's still sin, and right is still right, and wrong is still wrong. There is a spiritual deadness today. Because of that, there's sinners dying one right after another, lost and on the road to hell. While we come to church, we sit in a beautiful building, and I thank God for it. We see a few saved along the way, and I thank God for it. Somebody say amen right there. I thank God for it. But may we never come to a place, church, where these things don't stir us up. If it don't bother you, something's wrong. You can see society the way that it is today. When young ladies have no respect for themselves anymore. The way they dress, the way they act, they have no respect for themselves. Well, it's really getting quiet now. Young men don't. One, they're not young men. They're young males. Train them boys to be men. Give them a pocket knife. Let them whittle on a stick and cut their finger. It'll be all right. Amen. Let them get dirt on their hands. The condition of our country today, I'm telling you, it should awake us. We should realize if Jesus don't come back, if Jesus don't come back, Madeline's going to get married. Livia will probably get married one day. But Madeline, I think Madeline's going to get married first. I mean, we ain't there yet. Some boy might come by and sweep Olivia off her feet and she get married first. I don't know. But I'm going to have grandkids one day. I'm starting to get at that. Brother Tim, that's the next chapter of life. Me and Leslie, this week we traveled by herself. We let Victoria spend some time with Mama and Papa. Olivia was working and Madeline was working. And I was thinking in the backside of my mind, Miss Tammy, it won't be long. You know what? My grandkids is going to have to grow up in this society. We better let where this world is headed stir us up and awake us tonight. No, I can't change the world. But you know what? If I can help change just one or two, and you can help change just one or two, I understand it's the Holy Ghost that does it, but He works through us.